Yep, KX93.5. We are Laguna Beach, California's only FM radio station. There's a ton of podcasts at KX935.com. All kinds of informative musical programming straight from Southern California. Before you listen to all that stuff, check this out. Here's my interview with Elaine Bradley from Neon Trees. I'm Jason Fedde. This is KX93.5. Hi, Elaine.
Hello. Hi, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Is this your millionth interview of the day?
No, this is my first interview of the day.
All right, well, let's break the back of them then, shall we?
Let's do it.
Elaine Bradley from Neon Trees, I'm so happy to talk to you. Where are you right now?
I am in Tucson, Arizona, and it is like 108 degrees.
Oh, and then you're playing tonight there, and then tomorrow, Vegas?
That's right.
And then the night after that, I've got written down here, San Diego, so you're edging your way towards us here. We're in Laguna Beach, California.
That's right. We're coming for you. Watch out.
How's it been going? How's the tour been going?
Really well. This has been a really, really fun tour. It's quite a different tour for us than any of the previous tours we've done. We added a lot of stage pieces and a lot of theatrics. There are outfit changes. So we've really stepped up the game. It's been fun to see audience reactions and to kind of get used to the show as the tour has gone on. So we'll be firing on all cylinders by the time we get to you, and it's going to be good.
How's that happened? Is it just basically a thing of like, well, you've got some cash now, so you can do the things that you always dreamed to do?
You know, I wish it were that way. I think we actually spent more money than anyone advised us to, because we've always been the band that really believes in live shows, and we really want to accentuate our live shows, and that's like kind of the core of who we are. We're this rock band playing pop songs, you know? And so I think we wanted to really step it up even before we probably should have, just so we could have that show that we've always wanted. So, no, I don't think we had a large excess of money, but I do think we have a lot of ambition.
Well, the new record, Pop Psychology, which, by the way, we totally love here at KX93.5,
Oh, thank you.
No, we love it. And it really actually brings together that whole, when you say a rock band playing pop songs, is that what you said? Or did you say it the other way around?
No. We're a rock band playing live instruments and, playing with the raw emotionality of like a punk band or an early rock band. And we're playing like really nice pop songs.
You are playing. Well, that's right. And I think the sound of this new record, it really is that. The first record was a bit more of a rock album. Second one, it seems to me, a little more electronica influenced, and then this record sort of brings the whole thing together, really.
Yeah, I think that's how we feel too. I think we've described this album as the most Neon Trees sounding album yet. I think it's kind of exactly what we were going for, and we're all very pleased with how it came out.
Different people, anxious like the ocean in a
You're listening to KX93.5, We Are Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Jason Feddy, and that was a track from Neon Tree's new album, Pop Psychology. The track's called Sleeping With A Friend. I'm delighted to be talking to Elaine Bradley, the drummer in the band. When you started out, you're famously a Mormon band. Outside of sort of hymns and liturgical music, is there a kind of pop culture in the Mormon world?
I mean, I think there is, just because, you know, we're all humans in the world. So definitely there's like a, you know, the youth of the church definitely like what they like. And you know, you don't, it's not like the church is the place where you hear the pop music or whatever, but the church being comprised of, you know, normal humans,
right,
it definitely, like, you know, creeps its way in. But Sundays are definitely hymns and things like that. But that said, it's, music is really important in the Mormon church. I mean, obviously, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, that's like one of the most well-known choirs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very, like, it's always stressed. There's always, like, a church choir in whatever congregation you go to and things like that. You know, and, like, we all served church missions. Singing is a huge part of that. And so I think we all kind of, like, you know, grew up both socially enjoying music and also being inundated with, like, the beautiful kind of hymn music. So I think it makes for a well-rounded existence.
Oh, totally. Does it? But my question really is, is there a move to sort of modernize the tunes, you know, within the service, say?
Definitely not. No, I would love the hymns the way they are. I would never want to change them. And we're not that kind of church that, like, has the drum set and the live band playing. It's very, like, the organ and people singing, and that's what it will always be. And I don't even think I've ever heard that suggested.
Right. Well, no.
So no, there's no movement.
When you were out, you went to Germany on your missionary, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Were you playing music when you were out there?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, singing was a huge part of our mission. We would literally go around people's doors and knock on them and sing for them.
Huh.
So that was one way. So that was all hymns and stuff like that. But I actually was able to borrow a guitar from a member of our church out there who was in the army, and he was leaving to go be stationed somewhere else. So he just gave me his guitar for, like, I think it was 8 or 10 months. So I was able to have a guitar, and so I would write music when I got home at night, and I actually recorded them. And there's a mission president who's over each mission in the church, and he would, like, you know, ask for my music, so I gave him copies of what I was doing or whatever. So yeah, I definitely was able to be musical in several ways on my mission, which was awesome.
So do you think that your music sort of drew people across the line? Do you think you were able to sort of use it as a tool for proselytization?
I think so, and I think there's also a special spirit that can be conveyed through music that really can't as well be conveyed through words or through talking those same words, you know? There's like a feeling about music, whether that is an uplifting feeling or a kind of a raw feeling, or, I mean, however, I mean, even in pop of the music, there's, you know, songs that make you feel good, and there's songs that make you feel like, I think with hymns, there's a certain spirit about it that you really, like, you can get to the crux of a lot quicker than saying, like, hey, you want to hear this message.
Yeah, I think religious or not, people have always used music to get to another place, spiritual or a higher level of consciousness. When you were in Germany and you were writing, say you were writing on a guitar, I was going to ask you about your part of writing in the band, the drummer's part of writing in the band. Do you all write together, or is somebody responsible for lyrics, somebody responsible for melody, rhythm, all that kind of stuff? Presumably you're the rhythm guy.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, Tyler, as the singer, is responsible for pretty much all the lyrics and melody, the exception being the song Unavoidable on this current album, which is a true duet between me and him, and that sprang from a pre-chorus and a chorus of mine, and then we kind of finished it together. So, but generally Tyler is definitely the songwriter, the lyricist, and he's great at it. And so oftentimes, I think most of the time, he'll demo something or you know, develop an idea, and then we'll have the opportunity to, you know, put our stamp on it or finish it, or we'll work on a certain part. And there are those times when we get together in a room and we do write things. Some of the songs off of this album are that, and a lot of them are from his demos or from his collaborations with Tim, our producer. So
right.
I definitely think the main songwriter in the band is definitely Tyler, but it's fun to be able to have a part in that as well.
Right, you're ostensibly the drummer. Some of your songs, as you say, you're a rock band, but there's some pretty stripped back songs. I'm thinking of I don't know, I Love You But I Hate Your Friends, that's one that comes up in my mind, that's really kind of stripped back, and it's got a certain kind of groove to it that obviously must come from a drummer. must have come from you, right?
Yeah. No, you know, that groove really started with the bass. The boom, 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 boom. Right. So it really, it's a science, I tell you.
X93.5 Laguna's only FM radio station. That's the sound of Neon Trees and I Love You, But I Hate Your Friends. We've got Elaine Bradley on the phone. She's a songwriter and drummer in the band, and we were just talking about songwriting, and I wanted to talk about that song Unavoidable on the album, on the new album Pop Psychology. That's a really interesting song, actually.
Thank you.
It's an interesting lyric. How did you collaborate to write that lyric?
Well, I was lying in bed, and I was, you know, thinking about, you know, songs or, you know, what kind of directions I wanted to go for or whatever, because it was in the process of writing the album, so, you know, brainstorming my own ideas and things. And I think that there's like this inconsolable longing that everybody in their life has experienced at least once for someone else. You know, and it's like maybe even not the logical thing you can do. And you may even think like, well, no, that doesn't make sense for me to like that person or to feel this way about them. So I'm not going to. And it just doesn't work. It's unavoidable. You know, it's like they're a magnet, you're metallic, and it's going to happen. You know, like you're going to be drawn to this person regardless of what your mind or your body tell you. So I think that's kind of like where that came from.
Right, there is, I'm sure.
Luckily for me, that's my husband.
I was going to say, I'm married too. I know you're married. You found your husband in Germany, didn't you, while you were out on your mission?
I didn't. He is from Germany, but I actually met him in Provo, Utah.
Wow, who'd have thought that Provo, Utah would be so cosmopolitan?
Yeah, I know.
I think it's, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you the truth. I think it's important for Americans specifically to learn another language and get out of the country and see a bit more of the world. Do you think I'm right? What do you think about that?
Well, in the church, in our church, we actually don't pick where we get to go on a mission. So I was definitely hoping for a foreign experience because I wanted to learn another language. And I was thinking they were going to send me somewhere like, you know, in Central America or South America where I wasn't able to reach a shower and I had to learn Spanish, which I was totally fine with because whatever, I'm pretty low maintenance as a woman goes. So when I got the call to Germany, it was great. My parents actually met on their church mission in Austria, so they speak German. So it hadn't even crossed my mind, but it worked out.
Wow, so you guys get to have like whole German evenings where you all sit around eating pumpernickel and talking German.
Oh, yeah, yes. And my parents make their own sauerkraut. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Ah, touche. You guys, you describe yourself as a rock band playing pop songs, and a lot of the songs are kind of, on the albums anyway, are programmed. You know, there's clearly some programming going on there. There's some electronic sounds and stuff going on. How much are you restricted as a drummer? I wonder how much you're sort of restricted to the metronome and to the electronic click. Or is there still some element of kind of jamming going on within the band?
You know, as a drummer, I actually really like the click. I love it. I think it allows me to be more free than playing without a click does, because what the click does is reins in everybody else so that I don't have to worry about who they're following. You know, because sometimes when you're not playing with the click, there's a push and a pull that happens, and like maybe I'm trying to pull it back and everybody else is trying to rush it. And so it's like there is no master. There's no one being like, this is what it's supposed to be. So the click actually keeps it in line. And I don't even hear it anymore. It's just a part of like how I play. So, and it's fun to, you can push and pull around the click and things like that. So I think playing with the click isn't necessarily restrictive. And frankly, I'm not like a typical drummer in the sense that I don't really want to be doing drum solos. I never play between songs. I'm not the kind of drummer where, you know, when Tyler says something, I've got to do something in reaction, you know, like, hey, give it up for this band, and then I play this gigantic fill. You know, it's just, that's not me. Yeah. I've always been like more of a, you know, singer, guitarist or whatever. I just happen to fall into playing the drums, so it's really not my thing. It is now, and obviously I love it and it's really fun, but I do not consider myself like a real drummer. No.
That's so funny because you clearly are a real drummer. You're being very humble. But can you draw the line? I mean, I'm listening to you talking, and I can draw a line between the fact of liking a click and being able to play within those parameters and a spiritual life, which, you know, lays down certain rules and certain parameters.
That's so funny that you say that because that is a really good example. Yeah, that's like one of those things that we don't get to talk about it very often because it's not something. Religion is like an uncomfortable and alienating subject for some reason, which is sad. But I would say the same thing about like commandments, that it may seem like it's tying you down, but if you do it, then it actually frees you up to be like so much more of a happy and healthy person and more, so much more of who you are than, you know, getting tied down to things that you can get addicted to or lifestyles that are, you know, I think probably damaging to your spirit, you know? So, yeah, I would agree with you 100%.
That's so interesting. And I could talk about it with you all afternoon. Elaine Bradley from Neon Trees, I know you've got to go and I would love to talk to you more. It's been really nice talking to you. Good luck on the tour and everything. And hopefully, you know, if you're ever in the area, you'll swing by, you guys.
I hope so. This has been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Elaine Bradley from Neon Trees there talking to me, Jason Fetty, on Laguna's only FM radio station, KX93.5. Here's that track, Unavoidable, the collaboration between Tyler Glenn and Elaine Bradley from Pop Psychology, the new album from Neon Trees on Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
Last night to heartbeats in my head.
I fell apart when I got home inside my bed.
I can't think,
can't speak,
can't move,
can't breathe.
It's a white hot heat when you get next to me. When I'm around you, it's like waking up the dead. My
against the wall. Oh, oh, when I feel it, the pressure.
Yes, I'm about to fall.
Oh, oh, when I feel it, it's torture. It's unavoidable. You are a magnet, it's unavoidable. I am metallic. So do what you do, do what you do to me. It's unavoidable. You are a magnet, unavoidable. I am metallic. Hold me.
It never makes much sense to me, but that's okay.
It's like my love-hate relationship with LA. It's unavoidable. You are a magnet. It's unavoidable. I am metallic. So do what you do, do what you do to me. It's unavoidable. You are a magnet. Unavoidable. I am metallic. It's unavoidable. You are a magnet. It's unavoidable. I am metallic. So do what you do, do what you do.